our Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. And our text today, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your amazing grace that you poured out upon wretched sinners. And thank you for the testimony of that. Thank you for the testimony of the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice for us. And that in raising him from the dead, you testified of this to all men. Lord, open our eyes to the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that you would take the humble words of the preacher, fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill this place with your Spirit. Touch every heart, every mind, different needs in different ways, but your Spirit wields the sword of your word and knows what is needed in every case. Lord, may we indeed leave here knowing that we have been in your presence. We've heard your voice this day. Pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. There is a new movie out just in time for Easter, as it turns out. The movie is called Risen. It purports to be the story of a high-ranking Roman soldier named Flavius, who was given the task by Pontius Pilate to guard the tomb of Jesus and be sure that the disciples didn't come and steal the body so they could claim he had risen from the dead. Of course, on Sunday morning, Jesus' body was gone. And the storyline of the movie, I've not seen the movie and nor will I see it, but the storyline, according to the reviews, is that this Flavius then spends all his time and dedicates himself to finding the body of Jesus to prove that he did not rise from the dead, as he said, and to disprove the claims of his followers. Now, immediately, there's something wrong with that story if you know the scripture. Matthew says in his gospel that on the morning of the resurrection, as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, there was a violent earthquake, and this mighty angel descended to the site of the tomb, and the Roman soldiers who were there were scared to death. Matthew says they became like dead men. They were scared to death. And then later, some of those same soldiers went to the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, and told them what happened. And the Jewish leaders, Matthew says, gave them a large sum of money to say that while they were guarding the tomb, they fell asleep, and Jesus' disciples came and stole the body while they were sleeping. Well, that's patently absurd, number one. If you're asleep, and so deep in sleep that you can't hear someone rolling back that big stone and taking away a body, and you're so sound asleep you don't know that that happened, how in the world would you know who did it? But Matthew says that that story was perpetuated, and he wrote his gospel over 30 years later. He said that story is still being circulated today. Well, you see the problem with the movie script, and again, I profess I haven't seen it, but again, I'm basing this on what the review said. Why in the world would a Roman soldier who knew all those things go out and spend his time looking for a body he knew wasn't there? Spat and lip served. And he could have gone and asked some of the disciples. They could have hauled them in for questioning. He could have gone to Peter's sermon at Pentecost. Thousands of Jews were there. And in that time, in that place, large crowds of Jews assembled. There were always Roman soldiers there because they were always on guard for an uprising or some sort of rebellion. And all you had to do is go listen to Peter that day. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, these Roman soldiers, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead. Well, let's leave the world of Hollywood and make-believe and go to the realm of religion. John Spong, a retired now Episcopal bishop, pretty famous in religious circles. He's written a number of books, and he denies the resurrection. In fact, he denies the incarnation and the resurrection. He denies Jesus' beginning and his end as far as his earthly life was concerned. And what is the drive among these people outside of the church and inside the church? What possesses them to seek to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's simply the exclusivity of Christianity. It is the exclusive nature of the claims about Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God, that he himself was God incarnate. And Paul wrote in the introduction to the book of Romans that the gospel concerns Jesus Christ, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That's the proof. And they're not ignorant of that. They know if you disprove the resurrection, you've undermined the claims of Christ to be the Son of God, to be God incarnate in the flesh. You know, this is the reason for these attacks, to deny the truth of Jesus Christ. The story is told of a Muslim convert, and he converted to Christianity. One of his friends came and asked him, why? Why did you do that? He said, well, let me give you an illustration. If you're walking down the road and you come to a fork in the road and you don't know which way to go, and there are two men there, one dead, one alive, which one will you ask for directions? Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ is alive. That shut his friend up. And you see, this is the problem. This is the problem of all the other world religions, because if you go to the tomb of Buddha or Muhammad or Joseph Smith or any of the other leaders of the various religions of this world, what you will find is their dead bones. But Jesus Christ is alive. And so if you're seeking advice about which way to go, who should you ask? You should look to Jesus Christ. Paul confronted the people in Athens, his famous sermon at the Areopagus in Athens, a city that was filled with idols and every kind of god, Paul said. He told them that Jesus Christ was the true God. He said, God has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. How does this concern you? What does this have to do with you? Draw your attention to our text. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Many people take the name of Christ. Many people claim to be Christians. I name one example, there are many others. They claim to be Christians, yet they deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one thing we've tried to do through these series of meetings, remember the theme of these meetings? Proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ. And every preacher who has stood here has told you in different words the same thing. Beware of constructing a Jesus Christ of your own making. Beware of believing in a Christ that is different than the Christ of Scripture. Beware in believing in a way of atonement that is different from what is set forth in the Scripture. Beware of a Christ that you look to as a Savior who is acceptable to the world. Beware of a Jesus Christ that fits your reason and your understanding. Beware of a Jesus Christ who is acceptable to public opinion, that everyone can rally around, who loves everybody. You've heard all these things they said. They're not the things of Scripture. We've tried to impress that on you, and the overriding theme in all this is beware of a Christianity which is no Christianity at all. The resurrection of Jesus Christ must be true. If it is not, he's a fraud. He's a liar. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead must be true according to the Scripture, just which I've given you, for him to truly be the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God by power, by his resurrection from the dead. If he is not resurrected from the dead, if someone stole his body and hid it somewhere and nobody's ever been able to find it, he's not the Son of God. But this is very important for you. That he is risen. That he is alive. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that there's a day coming when the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. There's coming a day of judgment. I'll come back tonight to get more about that. But Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 14, he said, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We believe that's so because Jesus Christ died, because Jesus Christ rose again. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus Christ is alive and he's coming. And the fact that he has himself been resurrected, he has been raised to life, is proof that those who are in Christ themselves will be raised to new life. Paul wrote to the young pastor Timothy, and he said, if we died with him, we will also live with him. Jesus, on the eve of the crucifixion, the night before he was going to die, said, because I live, you also will live. So the question still remains, why are these people so determined to destroy the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I would suggest to you it's a fairly simple reason. They themselves do not believe. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And therefore they are busy trying to convince themselves, and unfortunately they spend a lot of time trying to convince others, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a myth. For after all, who's afraid of a myth? Who's afraid of a fairy tale? Because the scripture is clear. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, if he's not been resurrected from the dead, you're not a Christian. It's the plain testimony of scripture. And all those who take that position, most of the religious ones, know enough scripture to know that's true, and so they have to delve into this mindless thing that they do to set themselves up against God's word. But I call as witness today the word of God, which I've given you only the smallest little piece here. There's lots more that testifies to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I call as my witness, not my reason, not my eloquence, which I don't possess. I call to lay upon your heart and your conscience the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Paul said, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If that is God's truth, how can you say there's no resurrection? If Christ has not been raised, Paul says, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But let me address that as a preacher of the gospel. Hear me carefully. Christ has been raised. And our preaching is not useless. Except. Our preaching is not useless except when it falls on deaf ears who refuse to hear and believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, is victorious over death, our greatest enemy, the curse of Adam's sin that has come upon all of us. That enemy has been defeated at the cross. Jesus Christ has defeated death, sin, devil, hell. Proof of that is that he was raised from the dead. Glorious, perfected body. which all those who believe in him will one day have, a body like his, imperishable, glorious, glorified bodies, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, all those who don't believe will be fitted with new bodies also, bodies fitted for destruction. Lord, help us as your people to proclaim this truth. Face of all that testifies against it, Lord, let us be strong. Lord, if there are any who hear, who've wavered, who do not know, who are uncertain about such strange things that are beyond our reason, beyond our understanding, Lord, may your Spirit speak to their hearts. Give them new hearts that will believe and be saved, new hearts that will hear and respond your truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. For his sake. Amen.